What is up, everyone? It is another episode of Nerd Tween and Movie Podcast, and I am your host, Nerd Tween. Thank you for joining me. Today, we're going to talk about The Mandalorian. This is the way. I was very excited waiting for this episode to drop, and it didn't disappoint. I feel like a lot of people have been complaining about it for many different reasons, and you know, that's on them. I don't disregard their feelings, you know, because that's something that we can't do. Because if we can't talk about what we like and dislike, then what are we even doing? I mean, seriously. So yes, there were some forced jokes, like maybe one or two too far in a certain scene. People calling this a filler episode. I don't know if I consider this a filler episode. It was a very interesting way to start off the season, kind of just picking back up where we last left off and knowing where everyone stands at the moment. So I don't know why there's a lot of people upset about this episode. I thought it was very good. And my thing about, like, I talk about on the show all the time about critique versus review, and like, I liked this episode and I like the show The Mandalorian more than I like Andor, even though Andor is a better show when it comes to, you know, anything you want to talk about, where it's cinematography. I mean, everything in Andor is absolutely top notch. So I just didn't like it as much as The Mandalorian. For whatever reason, I just didn't care for those characters, even in Rogue One. You know, when he was there in Rogue One, I didn't care for his character. If you want to do a show about Chirrut and Baz or Baze, I can't remember, I think it's Baze, about the wills of the Force, sign me up. But I'm not a big fan of Cassian, so it didn't really do much for me. But I will say, at some point in this episode, I am going to get very tinfoil hat, and I'm going to be going off on a crazy theory, so just bear with me. Now, the opening sequence was really awesome. I thought it was really cool to see the crowning of a new young Mandalorian by placing the helmet on his head. And I don't know about you, but I definitely thought it was a flashback initially. I was like, wow, they're going to show us Din Djarin's helmet. I was like, oh, this is interesting. And then it was like, wait a minute, this can't be a flashback. And then we saw Din show up, so we're like, okay. And it was a very interesting scene. I do feel that maybe Grogu was using the Force a little bit there to influence the armor. I mean, I don't know. It was a little interesting the way that they had that interaction where Grogu put his hand on the table and looked at her, and she like straightened up. This is the way. I mean, that was the correct answer, but you know, the armor could have pushed back on that. But what really, really got me, all the stuff on Navarro, that's cool, whatever. But what really made me so excited and jumped out of my seat is, hold on, wait a minute. If you have not seen episode 1 of season 3 of The Mandalorians, please like, share, do all that stuff or whatever, and or come back after you've seen it. But I'm going to dive deep into this right now. So I'm sure everyone noticed the figures in the hyperspace. Those are Purrgles. Purrgles were a semi-sentient species of massive whales that lived in deep space, traveling from system to system. And it's rumored that they are the inspiration for moving from system to system and hyperspeed travel. They first appeared in Star Wars Rebels season 2, episode 15, The Call. And if you haven't seen Rebels, please don't even watch the rest of this video and just go watch Rebels. Rebels is amazing. I don't understand this complaint about Rebels. I didn't watch it for a while, not because I was like, oh, it's a kid's show. I just didn't have access to it. Like, that's the only reason why I waited so long to watch Rebels. I mean, for all its faults, it's fantastic. I mean, the expansion of the lore and understanding of how things happened after, all the events of the Clone Wars, like, everything that they did, like, tied up every little bow that they could, like even with the stuff about Endor and you know, them being involved in that, and like, and with Ahsoka, Vader. I mean, there's just so some of the best fight scenes and most epic battles I've ever seen are in Rebels. I mean, you're Darth Vader versus Ahsoka, or Darth Maul versus a blinded Kanan. I mean, Ahsoka fighting off three Inquisitors. I mean, the list goes on. There's so many great things to enjoy about Rebels, and it's not just a kid's show. It's really not. And I'm recommending anyone who's a Star Wars fan who's like, I'm not watching that kid's show, to watch it. It's awesome. I mean, if you Star Wars, Clone Wars was like kind of a kid's show, and that was awesome as well. So, I mean, you can't have that crutch saying it's a kid's show, I'm not going to watch it. You're missing out. That's your decision. You are definitely missing out, and I feel bad for you. I really do. But we're going to go back and say another spoiler warning for The Mandalorian, because I'm going to run right into my theory. I did so many, like, I took, like, hours and wrote a script. I usually did scripts before I took my hiatus. Every show since I've been back has been 100% off the cuff live. I don't know, no notes or anything. I took notes today. I have a crazy theory, and I'm gonna let it go. So the Purrgils, this is a spoiler for Rebels. Purrgils showed up again in the series finale of Rebels, appearing to help Ezra defeat Admiral Thrawn by using their hyperspace abilities and taking both Ezra and Thrawn to parts unknown. Now, I feel like Charlie from Always Sunny, this is my Pepe Silva moment. Like, it all connects, I'm telling you. It's in their first appearance, Ezra could hear the Purrgils where no one else could. Ezra seems to have this connection. He even spoke to them. Like, they had a actual, like, mental conversation. And Hera states that many of the spacers, or people out in the deep space, see them as just menaces, because they go through the galaxy and through hyperspace lanes and destroy ships. She said she's even had a few people die from that. Now, so that she knew. Now, when we see them in The Mandalorian, they're flying around the ship, seeming like, and it also seemed like Grogu kind of realized they were there before they were there, before that we all saw them. But it's they've said that they go through hyperspace lanes and destroy ships. Then why did it almost seem like they were like providing a Purrgil police escort? And at that moment when Grogu realized that, that's when he went down and went to sleep. Why? Could he also hear them and also communicate with them and felt protected because they were surrounding him? Well, more on that later. Now, I'm thinking all of this is connected. Now, how do I think it's connected? So, Ezra also heard them before anyone else could see them. And I think that the connection is through Grogu and Ahsoka. We saw in The Mandalorian Season 2, Episode 5, The Jedi, we found out that Ahsoka is looking for Thrawn. Now, at the end of Rebels, Sabine Wren, who is also a Mandalorian, who also wielded the Darksaber, is going to search for Ezra. Now, some of the Mandalorians blame their fate on Bo-Katan, because Bo-Katan was given the Darksaber by Sabine. She did not win it in combat. That's why, again, when in that season finale of season two of The Mandalorian, she wouldn't just take it from Din, because she knew if she did not win it via a battle, she did not actually get it, and her all of her supporters are not going to follow her, because that's not how you can't just be given the Darksaber. You have to win it in battle. And, man, I understand that's not enough. I understand that seems a little flimsy, but guess what? I got more. So, now the last time we saw Ahsoka prior to the live action appearance in The Mandalorian, she was meeting up with Sabine to seemingly go look for Ezra. So I think that Grogu could tell Ahsoka about his interaction with the Purrgil, and maybe that's the reason why the Purrgil surrounded Grogu, is because they felt the same kind of connection to the Force that Ezra had. And maybe the same ones, or just know of Ezra, because Ezra helped them get the gas that they needed to survive. And then they came to his aid and then just disappeared with him. So, you know, these things, you know, they're semi-sentient is what it's like dictated as, but they seem to have a lot more intelligence and wherewithal than they're given credit for. And now that all that being said, we have a live action Sabine and Ezra already cast. Natasha Louis Bordizzo has been confirmed to be Sabine, and Iman Esfandi is going to play Ezra. Now, they're confirmed for the Ahsoka series. Now, The Mandalorian Season 3 wrapped shooting in March of 2022. And only a few months later, Ahsoka started filming on May 9th, 2022. So the characters would have definitely already been cast and available, unbeknownst to us, so they could theoretically show up in this season of The Mandalorian. Now, Jon Favreau wrote all 8 episodes, but he worked with Dave Filoni specifically on episodes 4 and episode 7. So if they appear in The Mandalorian, that could further hype the Ahsoka show and maybe confirm that both Grogu and the Mandalorian will be in the Ahsoka show. And that would get more of the casual fans of The Mandalorian who just watched it for the cute little Baby Yoda and the internet's hot daddy, Pedro Pascal, to tune in to Ahsoka. And, you know, granted, I know his name is Grogu, but I'm talking about the casual fans that would still call him Baby Yoda, just for the record. Because I can feel the internet trolls going, hey, he said Baby Yoda, he doesn't even know anything. Shut up. And now let's talk about Ahsoka series. I truly believe that this is going to be amazing. I love Ahsoka. To me, Ahsoka is the greatest Jedi that we've seen in live action or animated. And that title she earned after leaving the Jedi Order. She embodies throughout the rest of the time she's in any of the shows what a true Jedi is, much more so than even the Council with Yoda and Obi-Wan, because I've talked about this numerous times. Those Jedi were corrupted. And you can talk all you want about how great Yoda is and how great Obi-Wan is and all them, but they became militant arms of a society. That's not what they were supposed to do. If you look at the Jedi way, it's about peace. They're peacekeepers, not generals. Funny, they became generals real quick. And that's when I say, you talk about like, who are the greatest Jedi? Yoda's not even anywhere on there. Yoda, yes, Yoda is one of the most powerful Jedis, but if you want to talk about the greatest, under his watch as Grand Master, the Empire rose. That's on him, and Yoda admitted that. All his fault. Because he could not see what was right in front of his face. He should have been able to, but he didn't. And you look at Obi-Wan, he gave into, like, Obi-Wan's close. He's very, very close to being the greatest Jedi that we've seen. But even he fell into the Republic BS. And we're fighting for democracy. You're not supposed to, it's not democracy, it's peace. Peace. My allegiance is to the Republic, to democracy. It shouldn't be. And Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka, I mean, first of all, she's wanted to play Ahsoka for a long time. So when she got cast, it was like she like willed it to life, because Boss Logic actually did like a workup of her as Ahsoka, and then literally soon after that, she started getting the calls from Favreau and them to be Ahsoka. And she's a fantastic actress. I've been a fan of hers since Rent. I am a huge musical guy. I saw Rent. I was literally front row center on Broadway to see Rent. And I loved and her and that whole movie, obviously, but her portrayal in that movie, it was so well done. And everything she's done after that, I have not seen once her be bad in a role, even if the role is bad. Like in Zombieland 2, her character should have sucked. And her character was so awesome because it was her. And I have the same feeling about Ahsoka. She is going to crush this season, and I cannot. I hope it goes on for more than one season. I really hope that they're not just doing one season, because that would really hurt my feelings. Now, I am going to MegaCon this year, and she is going to be there. I hopefully will have enough money to see. That's probably my number one is just to meet her. I actually had a conversation, a short one, on IG when she was announced. I, doing a lot like I am now, praising how happy I am to have an actress of her quality being Ahsoka in the Star Wars universe. And she reached out and was like, "Thank you so much. I hope I do you proud, and may the force be with you." Like to be able to see her in person and be like, "Do you remember this? You made my year with this." Like I can't wait to do that. And that's one of the things I want about for MegaCon the most. But we definitely are going to be blessed with a very good series in the Ahsoka show. And it's going to be the first real, like, full-time live-action directorial debut of Dave Filoni. So let's hope it goes well. Let's hope Favreau taught him well enough. All right, so let's talk some more theories. When Mando tried to get IG unit fixed, IG 11, they brought it to the Anzelans. And they returned from the really hated sequel trilogy. I really like the characters. I think they're really cute and funny and hilarious. Like, I mean, like, we talk about funny characters that are like funny for the right reasons. Oh, amazing. And that whole scene, people are complaining about the Force jokes. I feel the Greef Karga part, when him keep butting in and saying what it, like what they're saying basically right after, I think that was an issue. I don't think, though, that the whole bit was bad. I enjoyed a lot of it. I love when Grogu picked him up and tried to use him as a, tried to like make him as a pet. Like that was awesome. I'm sorry. That was beautiful. I don't really care what anyone says about that. I enjoyed that. So Mando is going to be looking for, Mando's going to be looking for a memory circuit for an IG unit. Now there have been a few IG units in the Star Wars universe. You know, you can think of easy, obvious IG-88 from the original trilogy, but I want them to bring in IG-90, who first appeared in Darth Vader number 7, 2015, alongside Black Chrysantin and Dr. Aphra. Yes, Dr. Aphra back again. I'm going to go on another Dr. Aphra rant. I love Dr. Aphra. I don't understand how she hasn't appeared yet. I thought for sure she was going to appear in the Obi-Wan Kenobi show. I feel like there's a good chance, like, think about it, really. Exploring Mandalore that is supposedly poisonous and everything turned to glass. Doesn't that not sound like Dr. Aphra's alley? Right up that alley? Dr. Aphra is a very great character. And if you don't have not read any of the Darth Vader or the Dr. Aphra comics from Marvel, please do yourself a favor and do so. They are so good. And once Dr. Aphra shows up, they're going to have no choice but to give her a series, because her popularity is going to just it's going to explode. Because it's a great character, great supporting characters. I mean, she literally has a C-3 unit that is a torture droid, and an R2 unit that makes Chopper and R2 look like little bitches. Like, he's literally like a war protocol droid, like ready to, like, astro droid. Like, No joke. I really, really, really hope we do get that in one of these shows, because she's such a great character. And now moving on, I want to pause because I mentioned Black Chrysanthemum. The actor who played him actually also played Gorian Shard, the Pirate King, which we'll get to in a second here. I really love that pirate spaceflight battle. I think it's one of my favorites in Star Wars. I mean, all the way from Grogu putting himself in Mando's strap as a makeshift seatbelt, to the camera angles, to the way Mando took on six enemies at once and ended up taking out four of them on his way to escaping this giant hammerhead freaking warcraft had a target lock, and because of his sub-light thrusters, he was able to get away from that. I think that maybe we can put Mando in the top echelon of space fighter pilots. I mean, like, think about it. Like, I want to put him up there with Anakin and Poe. I mean, Anakin is a little obviously the top, but he also had the Force that helped him out a lot. Poe and Din are not confirmed to have any Force connection or Force powers. I've always stated that I believe that Poe has connection to the Force, because he just flies way too good. Like, the decisions he makes in split second times, it's almost beyond what a human should be able to do. So I definitely think that he could have some Force sensitivity. I'm not saying he's a Jedi, but there's a lot of people who are Force sensitive that aren't Jedi. So I really think that he is up there now. I mean, with this new ship, man, he's a monster. Like, that ship is ridiculous. And that the fact that connects back to Tatooine. Oh, and not to mention that the whole scenario with IG 90 all happens after Vader and Aphra go to Tatooine. So we also saw in the some of the trailers that the shopkeep from the other seasons that was on Tatooine is in the series. So listen, I'm laying the breadcrumbs out. You don't have to believe him. I've been wrong before, but if you look at my track record, I'm not that wrong very often. In the next episode of The Mandalorian, is probably going to be very interesting, because I don't know how they're going to tell all the stuff that I want them to tell in this short period of time, because they only have 8 episodes. Why can't they give us more? I mean, can you give us like a 12, at least 12? Like, please. But, you know, when you look at all of these possible connecting pieces, man, you look at, like, and who knows? I mean, we don't know where Clone Force 99, like, they might be alive still. You know, we haven't seen live action Rex yet. You know, there's a lot of live action tech. I mean, come on. Like, these things, like, that we could get would be just so amazing. And they've opened the door, and people still have the audacity to say that Disney ruined Star Wars. If anything, it saved Star Wars, as I've said many times. And apparently, with the rumors that Kathleen Kennedy is out coming soon, and Favreau apparently almost quit the entire Star Wars franchise, a Mandalorian franchise, over her, apparently. This is all rumors. Obviously, I don't know Jon Favreau. He didn't tell me this. I'm just going off of all the research that I did for this episode. It really looked insane. Like, everything I've been seeing, like, to lose someone like Jon Favreau, who literally gave birth to the Marvel Universe and pretty much saved Star Wars, to have him walk away over someone, they gotta be horrible. They gotta be. And as you can see, I'm schwitzing. I live in Florida and it's fucking hot. Even with my AC, my AC is at 72. I'm a tubby little dude, so yeah, you can see me weapon. All the haters, I don't care. So that's going to be all I have for the Mandalorian Season 3 premiere episode. I hope you enjoyed the content. If you did, please like, share, subscribe. Now a little shopkeeping. The next time you see this podcast, it will more than likely be on site at Super Fan Con this weekend. If you're in South Florida, please come check it out. You can find the information in my bio, as well as you just go on Instagram or Google and just type in Super Fan Con. You'll find it. It's going to be a great event, 2-day event. Some people from The Mandalorian will actually, that actually were in The Mandalorian, will be there, among other things. And then, of course, me, 305 Miami Comics and CCJ Comics. Some of my good friends, we're all going to be there with some great books, great cards, great toys. We're going to have so much great stuff. And it's going to be an awesome event. And I may even be having I may even have my first panel regarding my book, Here Walks Monsters. We're seeing if there is time to fit me in. I did ask late. So it would be the first true, like, live announcement of the completion of it and everything like that. This is, like, you know, on my show, I talk about my book all the time, how it's coming out, how I'm working on it. But it'll be the first, like, true interview regarding the book. And I'm really excited for that. It'll be hosted by CCJ. So I really am looking forward to this weekend. And then we've got MegaCon at the end of the month. This is going to be a real busy month, ladies and gentlemen. So hook up your light speed engines and let's do this. Until next time, this is Nerdtween signing off.